on to item 7, which is the pension fund annual reports and accounts, and this is a checklist in paper E, I think.
Yeah. Just before the end of the financial year, SIPFA reissued guidance for production of the pension fund annual report, and part of the guidance document they produced was this annual report checklist, which indicates all the elements that they deem must be included, that should be included, and those that may be included. So they use these three different categories. I circulated the 2018-19 annual report to board members as a separate item, reduced to nearly 200 pages long, and I wanted to save three.
Or two. I didn't, I put it out.
Oh, right. Well, if you want to cure your insomnia, I highly recommend it.
Or have a wobbly table.
Paper E1 is the annual report checklist, which I have completed, showing, indicating things where we've complied and where we haven't complied. And paper E2, I've given a summarised breakdown, because to be honest, the checklist is very easy to miss whether it's a yes or a no, so to be fair. And against the areas where we weren't compliant, I've tried to give a reason why this was the case. The majority of the items that where we are not compliant, we are looking to address for the 1920 annual report. I'm happy to answer any questions if you've got any, but it's just really so you're aware of how, where we were on the compliance of the annual report.
Is there any, so for the things that they say you must include,
yes,
but we have a no for,
yeah,
is there any sort of penalty, or is it what is the...
No, there's no penalty,
right.
It's just it was one of those things that we didn't actually, because we got the guidance so late, where we haven't complied with it, we just didn't know about it in time.
Right.
We have also spoken to our external auditors
about
this, and the external auditors don't review the annual report itself in any great detail. They do a lot of work on auditing the financial statements within the annual report, and they check the annual report for consistency with the financial statements. So if there's any numbers shown in the annual report blurb, then they check to make sure that it's consistent. They should, in my humble opinion, be looking at this annual report checklist to confirm that we are compliant. I think it's the requirements that came in quite late.
Right.
I think it's
so
in February, beginning of March, they published them.
I think that there was no formal check, but
right,
we were looking through this as we were completing
yeah
the report. But the plan would be for next year is to do this on a far earlier basis, which is why we're kind of reporting it to you now to say we've looked through what we should have done, we've identified areas where we didn't do it, we have plans in place for doing it properly next year. And then the intention would be next year that we'll be a lot more yeses, and the things that we're not necessarily compliant with are the maze, which would be, you can do that if you think it's beneficial,
right, yeah,
but have a reason for not
I guess
doing
it. Must, should, may.
Yeah.
It?
Must is
yeah
kind of statutory regulatory requirements.
Mm.
Should is not quite that high
yeah
a level of compliance, but considered
yeah
best practice. And may is, you know, those are
up
really
to
nice
you
to have,
yeah,
and they're really good information if you can put it in there. So we're working primarily on the shoulds, and also on the musts, with a view to getting us to all of those compliant, the shoulds as many as we possibly can compliant, and the mays where we have that information easily extractable, that's what we will do. And the requirement of the guide for local pension boards and the SIPFA guidance suggests that the annual report and accounts shouldn't be published until the board are satisfied that the compliance checklist has been completed.
Okay.
Obviously we're running a little late this year in that we didn't have time to get this to the board before the accounts audit was completed, but we haven't published the accounts on the fund's website until we've had this meeting here. next year as part of our year-end completion work, before the accounts go to the Pension Fund Committee in July for adoption, we will bring this to the board. So effectively the board will be able to report to the committee that they have reviewed the compliance checklist and they are satisfied that we are complying with all the requirements of the accounting, as well as the external audit assurance that the numbers are right.
So I guess I think the thing that most stood out for me was the risk management section.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know we had that whole the risk management workshop, but that was the sort of thing that
I think the areas where we've missed with just things that we just haven't got around getting in place at that point.
Okay. Do you think your new person, because you've got a new person, haven't you? Do you think that will help? Or?
It will do.
Okay.
It's we got to go through the training time, so that's and then I've got to try and catch up. So, but yes, it will.
One of the things that we are also in the process of doing and have agreement with the Section 151 officer to do, which we've spoken about here, is the resource plan and the business plan. And seeking to put together a business case linking into a little bit of the good governance survey around greater segregation of the pension fund.
Okay.
So we're looking at putting that place to the hat. I've had a quick, very, very quick corridor conversation with Chris Ward, and he's happy in principle that we do something along those lines. So actually, to an extent, looking at removing my treasury management VAT. Jobs and removing Joe's treasury management VAT jobs, moving us into pensions, and then getting the council to put additional resourcing to fund the treasury management and VAT, which would also link into part of the business case looking at democratic support, because at the moment we're trying to clerk 16 to 18 meetings a year of pension fund committees and two pension boards, including fire, so we've just got real big resource issues in that point. So that again. Support
that,
as well as your engagement
here. Okay. And there's one other thing just to note, and I don't know if the paper goes anywhere else, but on E2, on 3.1, it says for the year 2021. I thought you just made. I thought you were getting very excited by doing 2 years or something.
No.
Is that or is it 2021?
I think I was just sort of. It's 1920 now.
Yeah.
And we haven't published the budget for 1920,
okay.
So I'm assuming in 1920 we will publish the budget for 2021.
Okay.
So that's right.
Okay.
So what I think
well recovered.
It could have gone either way then.
It could have done, yes. But it sounded good though, didn't it?
Okay.
There's a lot here to track. I don't want to create another document, but can something with the musts and shoulds, is that included, itemized, included in a work plan or an issues log or something easy that we can monitor, and also maybe who's the lead on which item?
The items that relate to documents that are produced throughout the year, that yes, we can sort that out. That is something we definitely can do. There are, however, a lot of documents that are just produced as at year end.
Yeah.
And it's really a case of making sure that we sort it out, we request the reports.
To make sure you actually can get the reports, you can get the information for it too.
Yeah.
That, so that
which is why we're working with the administration.
Yeah. So the intention I have is with this is to actually go through and do what you said, segregate out the ones that we're doing throughout the year and the ones that we have to do for year end only. And where we've got year end only is actually to make a list of them.
Yeah.
So as when we come, because best word in the world, if we come to April, I've forgotten some things because my memory's not that good. But if I've got it written down, then I can go through the list and just make sure when I sort of, for example, when I request the investment report from Hyman's as our investment advisors, I will ask them to put in the 5-year comparative, which wasn't included this time, but it's something we should have in. That's just something I know off the top of my head. So, that's what.
So, if you're creating a monitoring document, can we have a look?
That's fine. I'll sort that out for the.
What we've also been doing in terms of the administration reports, we've come across a huge number of enhanced Office of National Statistics st- statistical data returns that are asking for far more information in terms of membership movements and changes, matters, got copies here. And they're asking for things like who started, what their salary grades were, what the ages of our of our deferreds are, what the ages of our actives are, all of that sort of stuff. So we're having to do that externally, but it's also enhancing some of the stuff that we should be reporting to you in terms of KPIs and management information in terms of the fund, and we need it for the accounts.
Yeah.
So we're kind of coming at it from a two or three way pronged activity that there are things that as we are being notified of a requirement for them, we're building up the work programmes to be able to extract that information. And then we will continue then to report that to you, as well as looking at what we need and working with the admin team to pull that together.
Yeah.
And the admin team have got time now, having done a lot of work on data quality and done a lot of work on annual benefit statements and year-end processes
allowance.
And annual allowances and evaluation. They're kind of in a, almost, I hate to say this, a little bit of a breathing space where things that we've said we'd like to look at are actually having the chance to be looked at.
Yes.
I know Adrian's doing a lot of work on extracting reports out of the system, partly to comply with some of the new requirements that we're being asked for, but also now he's looking for those, he's identifying others which might be useful for us to have. So we're building up that repertoire as we work through.
Yes, because I think we identify there's a number of areas where the KPIs that are currently being reported themselves, we can expand on those, which are things that we require for the annual report, but would be of use for yourselves.
Yeah.
And I need to have a conversation with Adrian. I haven't actually had a conversation yet.
So they're on the list of things to do. And again, the work plan is developing to assess what we need to report, to whom we need to report it, when we need to report it, and how we can bring that together and bring more information to relevant people at the right time.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Any comments or anything? Thank you.
And again, going forward, this will form an earlier part of the board's work plan. So this will be coming to sort of not the April meeting, but if we've got a meeting in June, this will come to the June meeting, where we will have done the vast majority of the work, and this should be part of our year-end close down exercise. Has the annual report checklist been completed? Yes. Has it been reviewed by the board? And when we do the recommendation of the accounts and annual report to the committee, part of the process will be the board has checked and has confirmed that.
Okay.
So we'll build that into the work plan.
Okay, right. Thank you.
So we know it's not perfect, but we've got something to aim towards.
Yeah, we've got something to use. Okay. So moving on to